Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I used to smash other stand-up comics.
Which is bad.
No, it is terrible.
There's nothing horrendous. Worse than walking into a green room and being like, I have slept with more than half of these people.
The carpets were so soaked with urine. Because the sewage was coming down the walls. Oh. That they couldn't, you couldn't breathe in the lower decks.
Oh, God.
You couldn't breathe.
Growing up, I was educated and raised in an Appalachian school in part of rural and Appalachian Ohio. And my opportunities were a bit different from my peers when I got to Miami.
Find your new favorite podcast today with samples from Why Don't You Date Me, The Alarmist, and Major Insight. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Just because you're single and ready to mingle doesn't mean the actual mingling part's any easier. Few know better than comedian and actor Nicole Byer. Nicole is single and has beckoned for decades, despite her intelligence, good humor, looks, and, most importantly, her fame. So why is she perpetually single? What's not to love? That's the central question of her dating and relationship advice podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? Every episode is another step in the quest of finding the answer. Each week, Nicole welcomes guests with varying degrees of closeness to her personal romantic life to talk about love, how to be sure when it's there, how to maintain it, and how to know when there's none left. You'll hear comedians recounting their tragic and hilarious dating escapades, friends describing how they're making their relationships work, and ex-flings revealing to Nicole their thoughts on what went wrong. On Why Don't You Date Me, Nicole Byer is only searching for one complicated answer to a very simple question. But if you listen, you might just get some answers of your own. Here's a sample, recent episode of Why Don't You Date Me featuring writer, stand-up comedian Ray Sani. She joins the show for a hilarious yet candid discussion on the magical yet fleeting decade known as your 20s. Nicole and Ray chat about a wide range of topics, from their time at 20-somethings, from their strings of underwhelming sex to hustling for money, to the still present problem of colorism in the black community. Long story short, dating in your 20s pretty much always sucks.
I wish I was stronger.
Are you having a good time?
No. No, it's awful. It's truly the worst. Everyone is wild. So you spent your 20s in New York.
Yeah. Yes.
Was dating easier in your 20s in New York than
what is dating, right?
Dating is, I mean, my definition of dating has evolved.
Okay.
I never made like set plans for drinks with people.
Yeah, I never dated, if that's what dating is.
I would like meet people and be like, oh, we're having drinks. Isn't this a fun time? And then it's like, oh, are we going to fuck? Okay. This seems fun too.
I never dated so much as I just smashed my friends.
Mm.
So it's a lot of like... There was a lot of like people who I've known since childhood or have known like they're like tertiary friends mm-hmm. of friends that didn't think I was close to hot when I was growing up, but were like, she has a mouth when I turned like 22 or something. And so I would just like smash those guys. Or, you know, I'm a stand-up comic.
Do you get chuckle fuckers?
No. I used to smash other stand-up comics.
Which is bad.
No, it is terrible.
There's nothing worse than walking into a green room and being like, I have slept with more than half of these people. This isn't good.
It's kind of a more regular occurrence than anyone would like to admit.
I agree.
And I think I spent... Because I started stand up at 21 and I got self esteem sorta at 29. So I think I smashed primarily comics or wasted time on is what I would say. Maybe like the latter 4 or 5 years of that.
I slept with a lot of comedians in my early 20s, and truly looking back, not one was a good choice. Like, none of them were, oh, wow, like, look at them now. You know, I really missed the boat on that one.
Oh, wait, time out. Let me run. Yo, I'm trying to think of if I smash somebody and they've blown up or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, is there anybody I'm like, yo, this nigga, I like blew him in 20.
I blew him right into stardom.
Yeah. I did see someone that I had smashed in a commercial maybe like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, you know, good for him.
A snippet from the podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? From HeadGum. Find the answers to life's loneliest question on Why Won't You Date Me? Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. The common understanding of history is that it's doomed to repeat itself. The people at our next podcast this week have a bone to pick with that understanding. Join host Rebecca Delgado on The Alarmist. It's a new take on some of history's most notorious catastrophes. From the Hindenburg to the Titanic to arguably the greatest disaster of them all, the breakup of the Beatles, The Alarmist dives into the wreckage to determine what went wrong and, most importantly, who's to blame. With guest experts, a resident fact checker, and humanity's extensive history of screw-ups and failures to work with, The Alarmist is out to make sure we're right about where things went wrong. Here's a snippet from the recent episode of The Alarmist covering the relatively recent Carnival Triumph cruise ship disaster. After an engine room fire knocked out nearly all the power and the functionality of the ship, thousands of passengers and staff were stranded for nearly 4 days drifting off the coast of Alabama. Not even the bathroom and the sewage facilities were in operation, leading this disaster to be lovingly referred to as the poop cruise. Rebecca and her team set out to find just who's to blame, and as it turns out, the fiasco was more of a pattern for Carnival than an isolated incident.
So there was also this ship, there was the Tropical fire, and that was the following year that left the ship adrift in the Gulf of Mexico for 2 days with a tropical storm approaching. That's another nightmare. And then in 2006, a fire on the Star Princess, which was operated by a subsidiary of Carnival, Princess Cruises, damaged 100 cabins and led to litigation over the death of a passenger who suffered inhalation-related cardiac arrest. Mm. And they settled before the trial. Princess Cruises admitted no wrongdoing in the settlement, of course. And then there was the Carnival Splendor generator fire in 2010, which left thousands of passengers enduring days without power in the waters off Mexico before the ship was towed to San Diego. Carnival spokesperson Gillickson says early malfunctions were repaired and had nothing to do with the February 10th fire. So he's admitting that there were malfunctions on the ship, but they were all fine and they had nothing to do with that fire.
This thing escalates. This thing gets worse and worse. This might have been 4 days that they might have been out to sea and had a lovely time, and you get 4 extra days at sea, but so many other things happen in this case.
Well, I think there was the problem with the sewage. I mean, the sewage was the biggest problem. Also, why are there only 5 functioning toilets is my question. Because in all of these other cases, sure, the electricity went off, right? And that's terrible because if you have one of those cabins in the middle with no windows or anything, I mean, that's terrifying. That's terrifying. Yeah. You can't do that.
Well, and they were sleeping on the deck too, right, at some point.
Well, what happened was the carpets were so soaked with urine. Because the sewage was coming down the walls that you couldn't breathe in the lower decks.
Oh, God.
You couldn't breathe. And so it was impossible to be there. And so everyone brought their mattress up to the top deck. and they put sheets out, and they just like camped.
You gotta imagine there's gotta be one beautiful moment there through all that misery. That you look up and you're like, this is nice, you know. Maybe. At least it doesn't smell like urine out here. Like.
A sample of The Alarmist from Irios. When it comes to understanding our mistakes of the past, don't be alarmed, be informed with the help of The Alarmist. Available now on WVXU.org at the Start Here podcast collection and on the WVXU app. And now on to our local Cincinnati podcast. Let's face it, the college major system is kind of broken. More than 70% of students end up working in a field that's entirely outside the major they study. And if you ask a 17 or 18-year-old what they want to do with their life, you'll probably get answers like, I don't know, or I have no idea. So it's pretty unrealistic to ask them to decide, sight unseen, what course of study will best prepare them for a future career they can't possibly know. Well, luckily, there are podcasts like Miami University's Major Insight, hosted by a Miami student, Peter Everett. Major Insight showcases students and how they're transforming their academic study into lifelong passions. Peter welcomes social work students, law students, political science majors, and more to talk about how they're moving beyond the curriculum to enact positive change in their communities and the world. So after hearing the personal journeys and inspiring accomplishments of students who are poised to make a difference, you and the future college student in your life will have gained some valuable major insight. Check out this clip from the episode of Major Insight featuring Miami junior Megan Cremians. As an integrated social studies, education, and political science major, Megan is interested in ways in which she can cause social and political change by exploring the ways in which education and democracy are inextricably linked. She joins the program to talk about how she's using applied policy to find practical ways to fight inequality and injustice, especially in Ohio schools where disparities in public funding abound.
Growing up, I was educated and raised in an Appalachian school in part of rural and Appalachian Ohio, and my opportunities were a bit different from my peers when I got to Miami. And so I got really interested in educational equity and whether opportunities for everyone are really equal or if that's just a goal or if we should try and reach that goal. And so my project, funded through the Goldman, kind of looks at that.
Okay. So maybe I know that some people might think, okay, that's like a utopian vision and it's just something to strive for, but maybe not something we're ever going to really achieve. That's not realistic. Would you agree with that? Or would you say that, okay, maybe go into your project in a little more detail, like, okay, is there a way to actually achieve that, like, more utopian vision?
Right. Well, my thought is I have to bring it back. You know, I'm a political science major. I have to bring it back to the law. And there's a Ohio Supreme Court case called DeRoll versus the state of Ohio, which ruled that Ohio's school funding system is unconstitutional. And so they called on the lawmakers to make a change to have thorough and equitable systems according to the Ohio Constitution. And I think that if you push hard enough and enough people are able to tell their stories, our lawmakers will do us right and make those changes.
That's good. And that's at a local government level, correct?
Yes, that's the state government.
Okay. So there is definitely more advocacy where, okay, those legislators that are closer to you and closer to your community, right, are the ones that are really going to be able to make that change because maybe the federal government can't.
Yeah, well, schools are up to the state, you know, to fund. And so I think that state and local governments are where change is made, and especially in education. So I'm really happy to be working with different state legislators and have the voice of or have the ear of certain legislators.
Yeah, now, that's just refreshing for me just because, I mean, I'm a history major as well and do a lot of stuff with political science organizations. And a lot of times students are really, you know, they're advocating for federal policies and the federal government to step in. But I think sometimes the state governments get ignored. So it's really refreshing to hear, okay, there's some research and there's some people focused on reaching out to the state governments and working with the state governments.
So. I am a huge fan of state and local government. I will get on that soapbox every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
A snippet from the local podcast, Major Insight from Miami University. Get on the right track and start learning the smart way with Major Insight. Available now on the Start Here podcast collection at WVXU.org. Before we wrap up today, let's do a quick check on the Apple Podcast charts to see what's hot across the country via iTunes charts.net. As we navigate the information, impact, and implications of the coronavirus, we're beginning to see the podcast world address it with a slew of new podcasts. And two have risen to the top quite quickly. CNN's Coronavirus Fact versus Fiction, launched a week or so ago with Dr. Sanjay Gupta and Daily Updates. The other to emerge on top is NPR's new Coronavirus Daily podcast. It's a 10-minute podcast hosted by Embedded's Kelly McGevers and covers the science, the economics, the politics, and the cultural impacts of this strange pandemic, both now in the top five on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about coronavirus podcasts and the other podcasts we feature today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.